Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, or whatever time of the world you happen to live in. My name is Kate Loving Shank, aka Moo, and you have reached Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Our guest tonight is Charlie Latham, who is an online business genius and is in our weekly mastermind group, which love her very much, and she's a dear, dear friend. We will be discussing women in business, and I think it would be also a great idea to discuss business plans, since I suddenly realized this week that I do not have one. Before I bring Charlie on the show, I want to bring on Moo Nabine, a.k.a. Joan Adams.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Joan. How are you this evening?
Great, thank you.
Good. It's a stormy evening over this way of the woods. How about you?
Oh, no. No. We're fine. I hope you don't have electrical issues with being on the telephone.
Well, I have a cell phone. So that solves that problem.
Good.
The chat room is up. Have you noticed?
I did notice, and I'm delighted. That's wonderful.
First time in weeks.
Yeah. And I miss it when it's not there. I think it's helpful.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's a very beautiful, really upgraded looking chat room. So
sure. Yeah, it is. It looks a whole lot better, and it seems to be working fine, and that's exciting, too.
All right. Well, let me bring on Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
We're great. How about you?
I made it. That's the important thing. I've just finished up my weekly show and come straight on here. So bear with me while I center myself.
That's a crazy schedule.
Yeah, I'm sure that half the battle and almost in anything is showing up. And once you've shown up, all the rest just flows, right?
That's kind of it.
So, we were tossing around some topics for the show this evening, as you know, and discussing what I'd like to discuss women in business. And as I mentioned in the introduction, I realized that I don't really have a business plan, and I think that would be an interesting way to go in this conversation as well, because maybe women in general, I don't know, I don't like to speak for anybody else, but for me, I kind of go with inspired action, but sometimes I feel a little lost in that when I suddenly realize. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, you're not alone, Kate, and it's a really, really, really great topic, actually. I've been working for the last 6 months here helping people who are receiving unemployment benefits through one of the government programs develop business plans so that they can gain funding from the government to run their business for 12 months. And I just want to say that the blokes are just as bad as the women when it comes to why we need a business plan and getting the business plan written. So it's actually universal, I think. And ready, fire, aim is not an unusual way of going about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any idea where to begin to write a business plan.
Ah, you're not the only one.
I think, Ben, that this is a great topic.
Yes.
I think that I always was told, now even in my nursing career, I never planned to be where I am today with the nursing. I just went with the flow and decided to become a nurse practitioner one day when I got a job that paid for it. It's ridiculous. And in some respect, maybe it's worked for me, though, because I enjoyed everything that I've done. But I think that on this online business track that we're all on, for me, I think I could utilize a better plan. I mean, every day to follow, even have maybe a vision of what it is I want to do, what to accomplish, and then break that down every day into sizable chunks or something of that nature.
Yeah,
what do you think,
Joan?
Yeah,
I do goals. You know, I do goals, but I don't think I've ever seen for myself an internet business plan for, and Charlie, I think that's part of what you were trying to help me do last week, actually, is just to get it all in one place and kind of see what I'm doing.
Joan, it was. I try to actually break it right down, and it's interesting. People think that running an internet business is different to running a small business or a bricks and mortar business. And it's not. You shouldn't ever treat it any differently. Yes, it's easier. Yes, it's possibly less expensive, but the principles are all the same. We've still got to run a business like it's a business. It's not a hobby. It should be run as a business, and we should all have our plans in place. So what I started doing with you, Joan, was really right at the beginning of the process in terms of what have you got, what are your skills, what are you interested in, what have we got to work with, what are our raw materials. And once we've got our raw materials, let's have a look at what lines we can go down to start capitalizing on your skills and mitigating some of the weaknesses that you feel that you might have within your business sphere, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It really does, Charlie. I did not realize how scattered I was. I knew I felt scattered, but I didn't realize my work was so scattered. So it's interesting.
Well, that's interesting.
That's
just an interesting way, Joan, of describing it. Feeling scattered. If we're feeling scattered, I don't think we're necessarily being focused in, you know, our everyday online business world, really.
Right.
And I feel very scattered, especially the last few weeks. Just this feeling of being scattered is a great opportunity to bring it like a horse. It's almost like an out of control animal. To try to tame it and try to become the orchestrator as opposed to having the animal run the show, kind of deal.
And have him run in one direction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To the finish line.
I know people say to me all the time, yeah, we don't know how you do it. We don't know how you do so much and achieve so much. I often don't feel like I'm achieving a hell of a lot or I'm doing a lot. I'm just incredibly focused on what I need to do to get to the next step so that I can take the next step after that. And that really comes down to that I have a vision for where I want to be. I have a plan for how I want my business to look. I know exactly what I want to target within my business. So I can just, it's single-minded, absolute determination to achieve that. Now that took me, it took me about 18 months to get that level of focus to understand where it was I wanted to go. But once you've got it, you know, the world becomes your oyster. So, I mean, I know Joan and I know Kate, you love doing your vision boards and your goal books and your dream boards and all of those sorts of things. Think about your business plan as an extension of that. You have a goal book. You have a vision book for your specific business.
I like that. I like
that. Yeah, well, I have to say that I have about 10 different journals that have all started simultaneously, which has not helped my focus at all.
No, that wouldn't help. You might need to sort of make the different books all one.
It really, honestly, in there where I sit to do my morning meditations or whatever, it really is getting kind of funny because there's a stack of paper and then there is a stack of journals. Right? It's and of course the vision boards and all of that stuff. But it just, it's absolutely insane in there. It makes me tired to walk in there. It's like, oh my God. I can't even do it all. I couldn't write in all those journals every day if I didn't have anything else to do.
I think we've touched on a hot button here. This is good.
Now, I also just want to sort of say that feeling scattered and lost and even alone to an extent is quite a normal feeling too. It means that to a level you're stepping out of your comfort zone, and if you want to be successful, I mean, we all hear this, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to stretch. And when you stretch, you're going to go out of your comfort zone. And that's a good thing. That's an excellent thing. So when you're sort of looking at St. Joan thinking, I don't even know where to start, or, you know, I don't know how I'm going to achieve this, that's good. That's a good place to be. Now we've just got to make sure that the steps are in place so that you can take that next step forward rather than thinking, well, here I am today sitting here in Australia and I want to go and visit my friend Joan in South Carolina. How do I get there? You know, there's a whole heap of things that I need to have in place so that I can get over to see you. And
right.
That's exactly how you should be treating your business. It's a plan to move forward.
Right. I'm going to have a heck of a time buying that beach house next year in time for Kate to come. Kate's coming in April. So
well,
you need to plan on. You need to think
right.
about April, Charlie. You need to think about April of 2010. But to like, today, I haven't done anything that moves me in that direction. I've worked hard, but I haven't moved in that direction. And I think that's the mistake, is not doing something every day that moves that forward.
Absolutely. Every day,
yeah.
You think about that vision that you have for your life and your business. And I have heard that same thing. If you do something every day to achieve that larger goal,
right.
You have to almost have faith that you're going in the right direction, even if sometimes it doesn't feel like you are.
Right. I think probably my goals need to be smaller for a while.
I need
more manageable goals along the way. I have the big one in place.
I think if I can actually take that a step further, you've got your big goal, so you've got the end in sight. Now you need to put the steps in place to reach that big goal and break it down into bite-sized chunks. I mean, I once read or started reading, I got bored halfway through, as I do with a lot of books, and put it aside. But it was, how do you eat an elephant? Well, you don't
mm-hmm.
try and eat an elephant as a whole. You eat an elephant bit by bit.
One bite at a time. Yes.
Yeah. So I think if I could just ask the question, when you hear the word business plan, what do you envisage? What do you see?
A lot of paper.
Well, I was going to ask if there's something online, some sort of program online that would help expedite this thing. So I don't, like Joan, walking into a room with all these books half done and all these books half read, and oh my God, if there's some sort of program online, and I do believe you mentioned it in the Rocket Mom Forum last week, Charlie, and or some sort of program where you put all your affiliate marketing things on.
Oh, no, I mean, that's just a tool. And
yeah.
That's a tool on, and that's part of, I mean, that's part of getting organized.
Yeah.
It's a tool online, sorry, it's a tool for your WordPress blog so that you can just keep all of your affiliate links in one place and track what's getting click-throughs and what's not. And I also use it as a branding tool for myself so that if I've got an affiliate link and I want to send someone, let's say I want to send someone to Banish the Blahs, Joan, I send that through my site, through my specific link that says, you know, askcharlieleesom.com/blog/banishtheblahs, and that picks up all of the stuff I need on my affiliate link so that I know how many click-throughs it's getting, when it gets click-through, yada, 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 yada.
Mm-hmm.
But a business plan starts a little bit before that.
Right.
So if you wouldn't, how about I talk about how I start my clients on writing a business plan? And one of the things I'm going to do, Joan and Kate, is I actually have a template that I've been using for a business plan. So what I can do is I'll have to sanitize it a little, but I can put that up on one of my sites and share the link with you so people can have a look at what a template of a business plan looks like and work through it.
That would be wonderful.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Okay, so let's have a look at what I start with my clients doing. Your business plan is your overall vision for your business. Now, it's a living, breathing document. Most people will write a business plan, stick it in the top drawer and let it gather dust. And then 5 years later, open the drawer, pick out the business plan, went, oh, you know, if I had only done that, my business would have succeeded. So your business plan has to be a living, breathing document. You write it today for a vision that you have for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And your 10-year goal is generally I'm a retired type goal, or I've sold the business and I'm moving on. And what we need to do is break that plan down into various segments. So you have your business overview, you have your marketing plan, you have your communications plan, and I'll discuss how a communication plan differs to a marketing plan shortly. You have your resource management, you have your customer service management. So if you can imagine, instead of sitting down to write a business plan, you're going to actually sit down and write, I don't know, 3 or 4 page documents that address your marketing plan, address your communication plan, address your customer service management. For some businesses, some documents are bigger than the other. For some businesses, some parts may not even exist, I hate to say. But if you can break it down into those little parts, instead of trying to look at it as a whole, you'll find getting your business plan out is fantastic. So where I start with my clients is describing the business they want to have, quite literally. I say to my clients, when you're filling out this part of the business plan, consider this as your curriculum vitae or your resume for the business. Consider it as a, if someone was to come to you and say, I want to invest money in your business, tell me about it. This is the section of the plan that you would take to them and you would give to them and say, this is my business. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always start people here rather than starting them on the other side saying, well, let's talk about your marketing plan, because it gets you in the mindset of where you want to be going with your business. You start to get a real picture in your head as you're just going through these sections about what your business is going to look like, taste like, smell like, feel like, you know, the shape it's going to be in, if you like. And we do things like, you know, tell me about the business. Give me a 2-paragraph description of what your business is. Tell me about how you got the idea for your business. Why did you come up with the idea? What were you doing at the time? Were you jumping off of the Sydney Harbour Bridge thinking, well, that would be a really good idea for a business. We then go into looking at you as a proprietor, you as a business owner. What are your skills and experience in the different business management categories, like financial management, like customer service management, specifically relating to the services that your company is going to be or your business is going to be delivering? What are your skills and experience? Now, the reason we go into those sorts of detail at this point is you start to get in your mind what you're really good at, but you're also knowing that in your business plan, you've got all these other skills and experience or all these other areas that you don't seem to have skills against that you might need to get extra assistance with, and you know where to go to start looking rather than going, well, I don't even know where to start. It's like, well, you know, financial management, I need a bit of help with that. So when I go to write my financial part of my business plan, I know that I'm going to have to go and find someone who understands financial management, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then one of the final parts, I mean, there's a few more things in that section, but one of the final things we do is a business risk assessment. And people go, oh, risk assessments, it's bad. You know, if you've got a risky business, you don't want to go into it. As I say, risks are neither good nor bad. They just are, and we need to understand what those risks are and where those risks exist in our business so we know how to deal with them later on. To some extent, you may find that you've got a business that is such a high risk that you're not prepared to take the leap on it and decide that the business is not for you, and that's a good thing. You would much rather find that out now than find that out later on. Like when you're a year into it going, oh, I wish I'd never done this because I'm just stressed all the time because of the level of risk on the business. But there are some people that level of risk would be acceptable, so they'd move forward with it. But the reason we do a risk assessment at this point is that, again, as you go through each section of the rest of the business plan, you know what it is you have to be putting in place to mitigate, to manage risks down to a level that you're happy with. So that's basically where we start all of our clients on getting their businesses started, is write out your vision for the business, write out how it looks, why you came up with the idea, and tell us about what your business is going to do. One of the things that I really love doing is 12 months from now or 12 months after the business has been operating is pulling that business plan back out and reviewing that section of the document, particularly reviewing your skills and experience and the risk assessment and having a look at just how far you've come in that 12 months based on where you started from.
Do you actually, look at this business plan several times a month or even every day, or just people just keep it in their mind somehow?
Okay, one of the sections of I'm just looking at Janelle's comment.
I am too. I just thought.
Sorry, that's why I paused. Actually, we might segue into some of this in a minute, Kate. In terms of how you keep your business plan in front of you, one section of the plan that I get my clients to do is a one-page table broken down by quarters. Yeah, first 3 months, second 3 months, yeah, quarters. And then I look at the 2 years, and then I look at 5-year and 10-year goals and have them write out in each quarter. And depending on what the shape of the business is, and this is where it gets really, this is where you need someone to coach you along because every business is different. How many clients are you going to have in the first 3 months of your business? How many of those are new, and how many of those are going to be recurring clients? How many how much money are you do you want to be making per month by the end of the first quarter. Then you go to the second quarter and you do a similar sort of thing and you have what you're going to be doing. And you just keep doing that through quarter by quarter until the end of the first year, and then you have your two-year goal and your five-year goal and your 10-year goal. And then what I do is I take that page out of my business plan and I stick it on the wall in my office above my computer. And every day I walk through the office and I look up at that and I say, what month am I in? I'm in month six. Oh, look, that's the goal I had set for myself. That's where my business should be tracking. Am I tracking there? No, I'm not. Am I above it or am I below it? Once a quarter, I will review all my goals and objectives and sit down and just say, this is what I said I'd be doing, where am I really at, and what do I need to be doing with these goals and objectives to make them realistic as to where I am today. So I look at them daily, Kate, in terms of am I on track or not, you know, what should I be focusing on, because that helps with that focus and determination. Then on a quarterly basis, I look at, you know, my revenue flows, my expenses, the clients I have, and assess them, I'm going to say amorphously, against my goals and objectives. And then once a year, I sit down and review my business plan and say, where am I at? Now, the reason you do it once a year is that you set your goals for a year and it becomes a rolling quarterly objective, if you like.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
I am too.
No, I love it. I love it, and I knew I was missing something.
Well, that's the thing is I didn't realize I was missing a business plan. I know how to set goals, like I said a while ago, but to put it in a package and call it a business plan makes it something different. But it pulls it all together is what it does.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was just looking at Janelle's comments saying that a lot of the seminars, and I won't mention names, but a lot of the seminars and a lot of the stuff you see from internet marketers are about ready, fire, aim. I get quite jaded and I get quite depressed when I go to all of these wonderful sales pages that promises me $1 million overnight and all the rest of it, you know. And it's like, yeah, sure, okay. I don't doubt that some of these people have been able to do it. I don't doubt that there are people out there that find a product, develop a product, get everything in place, and launch it and make that six-figure income or that six-figure revenue in a matter of days. What they're not telling us is how much effort goes into that launch, how much effort and planning that they've put into actually making sure that everything is in place so that they can have that level of success. Now, I can say this because I've worked with a couple of marketers on a couple of launches in the back end, helping them get their sites together and such. I can also say that I've worked or operated as a JV partner, a joint venture partner on some of these launches, and there is a phenomenal amount of work these guys do, the good guys, the guys that are really making the dollars, do to make sure everything comes together. I can be approached 3 months before a product launch and asked to be a JV partner. And in that 3 months, I will get regular communications from them saying, well, you know, we've now got the site up. We're doing a market test, and we're seeing how this piece of copy goes, and then we're going to go and see how this piece of copy works. Oh, we're going to see what the graphics do. We're going to test the price point. And they are continually working right up to launch day before they launch their product. They don't go and write an ebook and put up a website and say, now I'm going to make $1 million overnight. I know that's what they're selling people, but that's not what they do. They can't possibly do that because there is too many things in the back end that have to connect for the for things to be successful, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
For instance, today, and I can't even tell you what e-book it is, but I think I had minimum 5 emails advertising this one new e-book today. That, you know, somebody had done their homework, no doubt. But, and these were all big guys who are pushing this one book.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he's going to have a huge launch.
Oh, yes, I know the book. Yes.
It's going to be a tremendous launch. And the way I'm reading it, it's a hardback. It's not even an e-book. It's a hardback.
Is it Michael Fortin's new one?
That doesn't
Murray
sound
Smith's
like Charlie.
It.
This
Murray
one was one.
In it.
Marie Smith, I know, recommended it.
Well, she's in it. She's a published author in it.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
I did see that, too. I saw it on Twitter. Somebody was Twittering about it.
Yeah.
But what's the old expression? Sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to become an overnight success.
Right.
Well, I have to say that one of my mentors, Janet Beckers, often sends out to her marketing things is to say how I became an overnight success in 5 years.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, she's worked hard. Now, she's doing really, really well, but she's worked really hard, and she's got some really great systems in place. But those systems can't be in place unless she has the vision of how she wants her work to or her businesses to look. Now, you know, what we have to do here is separate ourselves from being marketers to being business owners. A business owner is someone who has a vision and knows what they want to achieve and, they know how much money their business is making. They know how much money their business is costing them. They know how many people they employ. They can literally tell you, a good business person can tell you how much money they pay their employees every month and literally what that costs them per dollar to run their business, per hour to run their business. A business person is someone who is all-encompassing. A marketer has a very specific job. What is a marketer's job?
To tell the story, right?
Yeah, or to sell stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they've got to sell the dream to you. They definitely have to sell the dream to you. But someone who says, "Well, I'm a marketer," and I say I'm a marketer. I'm changing that because I'm a business person first. I do marketing. I have to do marketing to be a successful business person. But someone who is a marketer and sends out email after email after email saying, have you seen this product? Have you seen this? Have you seen this service? Have you done this? Without really giving any benefits as to why you might want to use it or how it could benefit your business or, you know, where should you be in your business life for this particular thing to be helpful? Is really just a marketer. That would be my general statement. And I fell into that trap. I really did. When I decided to do this, I thought, I'll go and find a few products and I'll just promote the hell out of them. In the last 3 months, I've changed the look of my site. I've changed the look of my emails. I've put in a nice email template. And instead of trying to sell stuff, I give benefits first. I give. I tell people what I think should be happening and why I think it should be happening, and I bring that back to my own personal experiences, and then I say, I found this to be very helpful. And if you're here and you're at this point in your life, this should be helpful for you. You've got to do your own investigations. You've got to... Don't just buy something because someone sends it to you and says, this is great, it'll make you $1 million overnight. Think a little bit about how it's going to benefit you where you're at. Right? Most of us have not a lot of spare cash to spend, and we see some of these things, oh, gee, we'd really like it. The fact that we probably don't have a lot of spare cash to spend is probably a good thing.
Because we would. The ones that, and I'm bad to sign up for a free teleseminar. You know, if it's a free teleseminar, I think, oh, I need to do that. I need to be in there. And lately, those have turned into almost 90% advertising, and I just click out of them. It's like I'm wasting my hour. It's a productive hour that I'm wasting listening to somebody tell me about another product.
Oh,
I need to be spending that hour creating or cleaning up messes that I've made already. You know?
Well,
I agree.
I think that this is sort of an all encompassing kind of endeavor. The business plan, and there's like, sounds like there's 5 to 6 parts of it, and it sounds like it's almost something you have to really meditate on and figure out. And once you do that, you might even change course, you know, in what it is that you're doing. So it almost sounds like something that I need to study, you know, and think about.
Well, and then once you get that going and you've got that in my mind in a general setting, because I can't see me writing 4 pages on marketing. I don't even know that much about marketing. But then to break it down into chewable pieces with dates on it. Right, Charlie?
Oh, look, absolutely, Joan. And, yeah, you talk about your marketing plan, and I said I'd discuss the differences between a marketing plan and a communications plan. A marketing plan is about what resources you can use to promote your business, and how you can use those resources. A communications plan is when you're going to use those resources, for how long, and what are you going to say when you use those resources, if that is really making it, trying to really separate the two out. The internet's great because it's free. Lots of things are free or really cheap or, you know. But we can spend a lot of time spinning our wheels trying to advertise on various sites and doing, you know, doing odds and sods to try to drive traffic to our site so that we can make some sales or develop our opt-in list. Whereas if we were a little bit more focused on, and this is why your business plan is really helpful, because you develop the picture of who your target client is, who your target audience is. You know, if you do a business plan the way I do, you know who your client is, you know what they wear, you know how old they are, you know how many children they have, you know where they like to eat, the type of wine they like to drink, the type of food they like to eat. Are they married or not? you know, what is that? If my target audience is typically women, it's women who want to run a home-based business or a business for themselves. Now, that's two very specific target markets. They're not the same target market. They will generally have children, and the children will be youngsters to preteens, young teens even. If they've got older teens, they're not necessarily in my target market. They like to wear nice clothes. They don't like to wear the Gucci's and the Pradas and all of that stuff, but they do like to wear nice quality clothing. They'll often head out down to the shopping centres and have a cup of coffee with other mums once or twice a week just to be able to get out of the house. But the reason they want to have a business or a home-based business is because they want to be there to support the family unit as a mum, okay? They do have a husband. Their husband is generally supportive, but he's working himself to the bone, doing his 40 or 50 hours a week in a job that he probably doesn't enjoy, and you can start to see the sorts of stresses around the family, around the fact that they're so busy trying to earn a crust that they're not actually enjoying their life anymore. And the kids will go to sport on the weekend, and mum and dad will actually end up splitting up to take the kids to sport on the weekend because one kid is on one side of town playing soccer and the other kid is on the other side of town playing basketball, I guess.
Right.
So that's my target market, okay? Now, I know who my target market is. I can tell you all of that about it. Now what I've got to work out is, where does my target market, where can I reach my target market? How can I talk directly to my target audience and get the most value for my advertising dollar and my marketing dollar? Is advertising in the yellow pages? I think, yeah, you've got guys have got yellow pages. Is advertising in a print directory like the yellow pages likely to speak directly to my target audience?
No. Well, maybe.
No. Highly unlikely, though, right? I might get lucky
yeah.
and they might listen to yellow pages, but it's not going to talk directly to them.
Yeah, it might be a waste of time and money. It's expensive.
Oh, it's very expensive. So let's talk about an online resource. Is advertising in an online, or let's say I buy some advertising on a blog that advertises corporate wear for the woman?
No.
And they're a work-at-home mum, remember? What was
right.
that, Joe?
No, that's not what she wants to wear.
No. No.
Not at all. Not at all. No.
If I was to go down to my local school, however, and say, listen, I want to put an ad in your newspaper, in your newsletter. I want to put a couple of, you know, just a little ad in your newsletter, and in return what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some of my services that you can use as a raffle prize or something to generate some income for your school. Will I actually get to my target audience?
Yep.
Yeah, you would.
Probably.
Yeah.
Depends on the size of the school, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I'm more likely to get to a work-at-home mum through the school than I am through a corporate
absolutely.
Women's
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
If I was to head to the local coffee shop and do a joint venture with the local coffee shop where if they've got a group of mums coming in, and the mums spend over $20, they each get a voucher that says, give Charlie Leatham a call. She can help you get your business up and running, and she'll give you a free one-hour consultation. How
yep.
effective will that be?
That would work.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the relative cost. The Yellow Pages ad here costs $1,500 Australian, give or take. But to get a reasonable size ad, it's $1,500 Australian, which will be about $1,000 US for the year. To do a JV with my local coffee shop, I go and get some business cards printed from Vista. Let's say that cost me $10 US, so $15 Australian. And I'm prepared to give away 20 hours of my time to meet 20 people who are ready to do something to achieve success in their business.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see why having your business plan and your vision is so important?
Yes. Let me ask you another question. How do you see Skwadoo, www.skwadoo.com, fitting into your business plan?
Okay, well, that actually ties into the question that Janelle's asked in the chat room. Skwadoo is a method of developing credibility and backlinks to my site so that people can get to know me, like me, trust me better. For me, it's about developing community and relationships with my target audience.
And it sounds like, you know, there's a whole thing going on the online world. And Skwadoo would be one of it, and Twitter would be something else, and Facebook is something else, all online, all global, all, reaching people from all over the world, and then zoning in on the people in your community, in your general vicinity, or even for me, I'm on the East Coast of the United States. I could reach people in New York, New Jersey, Washington, all over the East Coast, or even farther. But it seems like you have a target audience that you can reach face to face, as well as reaching people from all over the world, because that's the beauty of what we are doing now, or can do, or it's possible to do.
Absolutely, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, really, I came across Squidoo, it's been nearly 2 years ago now, when I was looking for ways to market that didn't cost me much, because my cash flow is very limited, and I knew that I could do this, and I knew that there was a way that I could do it inexpensively. Anyway, I bought a $10 ebook. It was probably one of the best $10 I've spent ever. I can't even remember what it's called. Affiliate Undercover, I think it was called. And one of the things that they recommended, this guy recommended you do is, yes, you use your articles to promote yourself and get backlinks to your site and drive traffic to your site, but then you set up personas on the content engines like Squidoo, like HubPages, and start to generate traffic through those methods as well. And it's worked very, very well. It has worked incredibly well. If I was to look at it just in terms of just search engine optimization and the benefits within the search engines, if you've got a site on Squidoo and it gets indexed, or when it gets indexed, it's likely, 12 months ago, not so much today, but 12 months ago, it was likely that your website would be indexed through your Squidoo page before it was indexed by the search engines in its own right. In fact, the reason it gets indexed through the search engines is because it gets indexed through the content engines like Squidoo. That's how it was getting found.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, that was why I got involved with Squidoo. Now, it's a great method for me to, and I'm seeing someone there. Yeah, it was Janelle again saying, it's me. It's a way of me developing a brand. It's a way of me allowing people to get to know me, like me, trust me. That's why I tend not to do things under personas and do it under my own name, because I want people to know who I am.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Charlie. That's my whole point, is for people to know who I am. Ooh, thank you, Janelle. I just saw that. Yeah, and then once they know who I am, and if I'm very, very careful with what I recommend, then people will trust what I say.
Absolutely, Joan. I mean, let me ask both of you a question. You are on all of these marketers' email lists. How many of them do you read?
None. That's why I'm deleting them.
And are there a couple that come in that you go, oh, that's so-and-so's newsletter, I want to read it because they always share good information?
Yeah. In fact, there's one that I would love to study under. I can't afford to at this point. But I think I'm even going to stop that one because it's not within my realm of possibility right now. And that, I need to just focus on personal, my personal work and get my work in shape, I think, at this point, rather than try to read what somebody else is going to try to teach me. Right?
Yep.
I don't have room in my brain to learn anything else right now. I'm just kind of learning all I can at one time. There's only so much I can do. I think I would like to think I could learn it all tomorrow, but realistically, that's not true. So it does me no good to receive all this stuff.
because I'm a tactile learner, and what I mean by that is I have to, well, I don't have to. I prefer to do to learn as opposed to read about things and learn and then go and apply them. I prefer to say, right, I want to achieve this. How do I do it? Go and read up, go and do a bit of reading about it and say, right, it says to do this, this and this. Now I'm going to go and do that. Oh, that worked. And I actually, yeah, I'm a hands-on learner. I really am. I try not to learn too much all at once because it doesn't do anything for me. It just makes me depressed because there's so much more to do. There's so much more to learn. Whereas if I just take it bit by bit by bit, I do it. It's much, much better for me.
Right.
I do love the Milagro World Forum, and I do love Pat O'Brien. So that is one person I would always stay with, just because he is very generous. I think that he tries to and does extend himself to, you know, the people on his list. And if you do go over to that Milagro World Forum, he talks to you personally, you know, quite regularly. And I understand those Zen seminars are pretty cool, the way everybody really almost gets into some sort of crazy high with it's one of the most everybody really, really somehow takes off. I don't know if they take off on their business, though. That's another thing. I don't really know if they do or not. But they get something else out of that experience. I just want to say that in the very beginning of my business, I was focusing in on nurses. And I'm thinking maybe I should get back to that. I think that would probably be good for, and then that would mean making a concerted effort to reach the nurses, not just where I work, but within a, you know, 500,000-mile radius.
Right. Well, it's a very concentrated market, Kate. And
yeah.
You know them well. You live their world.
Well, you
I
know
do,
how to talk
I,
to them. You know their language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I advocate for them, and I know that there's something missing there that they could utilize more about how they can help patients with healing. That I believe all nurses are healers, but they don't believe that about themselves. That would be my main message. And that would be a good niche market. So, and it has been, and it can be. I could do more with it, let's put it that way.
I think when you're looking at your niche as well, Kate, yeah, you can have multiple niches. You can have multiple niches, and you can talk to them in different ways. But start with a niche that you know. So you know nurses. So one of your niches is nurses. Another niche that might work for you are caregivers, or what do you call them? People who do EFT and people who actually heal it.
Alternative healing.
Yeah. And then look within the healing niche and find something that is really narrow and really deep and start talking to them. You'll need to use slightly different language. You'll need to use a slightly different way of addressing them. But you can have one product that addresses five different niches, but you've got to speak to each of those five niches in a way they understand to want to buy the product. I'm just watching the time. So one of the guys that I love listening to is a guy called Sean Roach. He's just amazing. And, yeah, he's a marketer, no two ways about it, but he's got some real business smarts around him, and he advocates business planning and making sure you know what you're doing and all the rest of it. But he says you take your one e-book. Let's say you've got your Nurse Healers e-book, Kate, the Hopopano e-book? And
oh,
you
yes.
Say Hopopano for nurse practitioners, Hopopano for EFT practitioners, Hopopano for women EFT practitioners. Now, it can be the same ebook. You've just changed the title. You've changed the cover slightly so that it is talking directly to that specific target audience.
Wow, that's cool.
And that's one thing people can do.
And you might
yeah.
change a little of the language when you do that, right?
You might. I would certainly say if you're going to change the language, I'd change it in the introduction and maybe the conclusion, the end of the
yeah.
book. I wouldn't necessarily rewrite the entire book in a different language.
Gotcha.
I would probably use the same book.
Yeah, I think that you could. There's no reason to change it except for those different introductions and summaries and title. So, yeah.
So I'm watching the time. I wanted to just also add that people equate traffic to a website as success. So if you've got 1 million visits to your website, then you've got a great website. It always amazes me that people can say, I'm getting 1 million visits a day to my website. And you say, well, how many sales are you making? How many clients have you got? Are you growing your list? Oh, no. But I've got 1 million visits to my website. I've got to say, I'd rather get 1,000 visits a day. I'd like to get 1,000 visits a day to my website, but 1,000 visits a day to my website instead of 1 million, and out of that 1,000 have one person buy, have 10
mm-hmm.
people join my email list, have one person
mm-hmm.
buy, then have 1 million people come to my website and do nothing.
Right. Right.
I know. It's not a numbers game. It's not even a game. It's just something that needs to be more efficient, and you do need to make sales, but you do need to have relationships with people, and it all sort of starts weaving together, I think. Once you have that initial plan, I think the plan is very important from what I'm gathering here, very, very important. To have the plan, and it sounds like there's like 5 or 6 different components to the plan, and it's important to keep, it's almost like a juggling act, but
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, you keep the balance. It's important to keep the balance.
And balance, I think, is the biggie, yes.
Yeah.
Especially with internet stuff.
I don't know the source of the quote. I don't know even where it really started, but I remember listening to someone talking, and they said that of everyone in the world, the most successful people, your top 3% achievers in the world have written down goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and the ones that are doing the best have written down goals.
Right.
Well, our problem isn't that we don't write down goals. Our problem is that we don't have a business plan.
Or that we write down too many goals and don't have enough. They don't have a realistic quality. I make a list every week and post on another group I belong to. And,
mm-hmm.
Week after week I copy my list and move it to the next week. It's ridiculous. So, yeah. Anyway, we are running out of minutes, aren't we?
Well,
this is
yeah.
wonderful. This is truly, truly wonderful.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Appreciate it,
yeah.
Charlie.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Golly, you're so good. You're a great teacher.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
we really
thank you
appreciate
for giving
it.
Me a soapbox.
Oh, we love your soapbox. We need to hear that soapbox.
Do I say something there? I see something in the chat room, business startup.
Yeah, that's
startup
an article
online.
I wrote about a couple of weeks ago, in fact, about why you need a business plan.
Oh, good.
And there's a couple of other articles on that. That's a site that I run. I've got to do more articles for it. But there are more articles on that about finding your niche and how you find your niche and how you learn to talk about them.
And it's businessstartuptipsonline.com for listeners, please. Yeah, businessstartuptipsonline.com, all one word, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I just bookmarked that, and I will take a look at that then. Yeah, thank you so much, and I'm sure this conversation will continue tomorrow night in our mastermind group.
Oh, that's a warning and a half, isn't it?
Yes.
I think we have just begun.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody in the chat room.
And, wonderful.
I am now going to play music to close up the show from Klaus Jensen and Henrik Berk Abu, who have their website is www.musicformotherandchild.com. So thank you all. We love you, and have a wonderful evening.
Bye.